What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Off the Bench. I'm Brandon Carney alongside Pat Gustafson. And Pat, it's the show everyone's been waiting for. It's the show that's been highly asked for, highly anticipated, and that I have done very minimal preparation for. But that's okay, because I feel like I know my stuff. It's the mock draft episode, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. How are you feeling heading into this mock, Pat? I know you seem to be struggling a little bit when I what you were telling me you were going to do some research. You were like, I gotta really brush up.
Yeah,
here.
You know, I've looked at mock drafts and stuff and whatnot, but like I guess I don't know why each player is going where they are.
Mm-hmm. And fair enough.
You know, just doing, you know, what I'm doing, supposed to be doing actual work today. You know, I did actual work today.
This is your actual work.
Mickey Mouse is listening. I did actual work today, but.
This is far more important. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the mock draft episode, and so that is going to be encompassing the entire show. I feel like that'll probably take up at least an hour or so. And then whatever we have left at the end, we've got some mostly draft-related, I think, viewer questions to get through. But we'll start this. Actually, let me give you some parameters first. I'll be taking the odd-numbered picks. Pat will be taking the even-numbered picks. And we do have a rule or stipulation in place that we can make trades both with each other or just with our own picks. So if it's an odd-numbered team making a trade with another odd-numbered team, I don't have to get any approvals. I can just make that deal because I'm making both the picks. If it's odd for even or even for odd, we got to collaborate a little bit, see if we agree that trade would make sense. And then, I mean, I guess whoever is supposed to make that pick will make that pick. We'll figure that part out as we get to it. But
yeah, I was gonna. Are we giving ourselves a limit here? Because last year we did one apiece.
I think
go back and look at the archives because we were not independent at the time.
Yeah, that is true.
Nowhere to find it, but yeah, we did one because I mean you don't want this to just be overkill, but at the same time you got to be realistic.
I think if we feel like there's a spot where it's like a really logical play, depending on the players available, I mean I don't think there needs to be a limit. I feel like we'll only end up doing maybe one or two, if even that, anyway. Mm-hmm. But we'll kind of take it, you know, pick by pick here. We'll go with the flow. But Pat, I will start us off here with the number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL
Who's
draft.
Who's it gonna be?
It's Caleb Williams. Oh, no, it's playing again. Oh, no, I have to make another pick. Oh, no. No, it's Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears. Obviously, this pick coming from the Carolina Panthers, who just could not be more down bad as a franchise right now. They not only, you know, took Bryce Young, who didn't work out, they had to give up this year's first overall pick to do it, and now they're just sitting looking awfully silly, especially with DJ Moore also lighting it up in Chicago for whatever quarterback they end up putting under center. Yeah, Caleb's definitely the pick here, I think. 99.9% of people understand that at this point. There is a small contingent of people that are just very insistent that Caleb will be a bust, or that, you know, him painting his nails or having a pink phone case is actually
because
a big deal. But yeah, I don't know. To me, that all of that just furthers my suspicion that he's going to be an elite quarterback just to spite everyone. So I think Caleb's absolutely the pick here. I think the Bears made the right move by moving on from Justin Fields and then, you know, setting themselves up to make this pick. Caleb's going to be coming into the league throwing to DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. Like, he is pretty set up for success. The only question mark there is obviously that O-line. And then the biggest question mark for Caleb himself, play style-wise, is the fumbles. But, I mean, look, as far as red flags on a player, I think you could do a lot worse than a guy that fumbles a little too much. You can kind of teach that, I would think.
And I guess it's a good thing that, you know, they have another pick at 9. So, you know, you talk about the O-line need, you talk about possibly some other needs. They've got a shot real early to put a, you know, a top prospect with Caleb Williams. But yeah, anyone that thinks he's not going to be the number one pick or is not the rightful number one pick is you're lying to yourself.
Yeah,
you're lying to yourself. Heard some rumblings today that a certain Las Vegas Raiders were interested in. They wanted Jaden Daniels so bad. At least for our intents and purposes, if I'm Washington, I'm hanging up that phone and I'm selecting Jaden Daniels with the second pick.
Okay, so we are going Jaden Daniels at number 2. Now, of course, the rumors lately, I mean, look, the rumor mill is going to be spinning a lot as the draft gets closer, and famously, I don't know who said it. Was it Schefter? I don't think it was Schefter. Somebody said that, I think it was Belichick recently said, like, any draft, like, smoke that you see really before, like, the day before, don't really listen to it. Like, the real stuff starts to come out about 24 hours before the draft. So nothing we've really heard so far is super.
Decides to change the lines.
Or yeah, that's true too. But the smoke, at least, that's come out lately is that Jaden Daniels might not necessarily want to play in Washington. Now, not that that's going to change anything, not that he's going to flat out refuse to play for Washington. It's just that the rumblings have been, you know, his camp might be trying to push things the other way. His agent was liking some anti-commander tweets on Twitter. And so it'll be interesting to see if the commanders, you know, end up ultimately caring about that, since I do think we are basically splitting hairs with the second tier of quarterbacks. I think it's Caleb's pretty much on his own. And then you've got Jaden and Drake May. We kind of haven't been sure who the better guy is between the two. So, you know, do they go the direction of Drake May, or do they just keep sticking with the guy that we've long believed they were linked to in Jaden Daniels? I assume they're going to stick with Daniels, like you picked.
Yeah, and not to say that, like, I'm not one of these Drake May truthers that doesn't really have much to base it off of. I mean, Drake May is really solid, really reliable, you know, just a great natural passer. Jaden Daniels is way more of ceiling, way more upside, but he's going to do it a lot differently. The dual threat, I feel like if Washington wants to kind of springboard their chances, Daniels is the better quarterback. And quite frankly, I think the team, you know, like a team at number three, for example, who is kind of more playing a long game. I think if you're playing a long game with the rebuild, I think Drake May is that guy. And I'm going to turn my camera off and disappear for a few seconds so nobody sees my pantsless.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think I do think Jaden Daniels is going to be the pick here. My concern with him in general, and again, not one that I think should turn the Commanders off from picking him, because every quarterback's going to have some kind of weakness, but I am a little worried about just his play style leading to injuries. He's a little bit reckless at times running the ball. And, you know, that is something that can be taught to an extent. I think you had similar issues with Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, and those guys have learned to be effective runners while also not getting themselves hurt. I think that's also going to be something like Anthony Richardson has to learn here in year two. But Jaden Daniels, I think the upside is absolutely there. I just hope he doesn't end up, you know, like RG3. I don't want to see RG4 here in Washington and have a similar, you know, talented athlete end up not being able to fulfill his true potential. But we will see. I do think this will be the pick here, which leaves me on the clock with the Patriots at number three. I will not be accepting any trade requests from anyone. Not myself, not from Pat, not from the Vikings GM, not from the Giants GM. I pray to God the Patriots don't trade out of this pick. I think it would be absolutely moronic, and I am taking Drake May here with the number three overall pick. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Patriots need a franchise quarterback. This is going to be their best chance to find one in the next and even past few years. You know, you look ahead to next year's quarterback class, and not only is it weaker, you never know where the Patriots are going to be picking in that draft. So I think people try to make it sound a little too idealistic when they're like, oh, you know, but build up the supporting cast around the quarterback before you actually get the quarterback. That way he's more likely to succeed. To which I say, the Patriots' defense on paper is really, really good. And the offense, you know, with Jacoby Brissett's a vet, man. Like, this team, even starting Jacoby all year, is not going to be no playoff team. But, like, could they get 7-8 wins? Would that surprise me? Absolutely not. And then we're suddenly picking at, you know, 8 or 9 overall next year instead of being in the top three with a chance to get a real franchise difference maker. I think you have to go with Drake May here unless you get an absolute massive draft pick haul. They might. And I'm talking like Trey Lance, you know, 3 first round pick kind of deal. But Pat, I'm honestly wondering if deals like that are going to start to go extinct because they haven't worked out lately. Like massive picks for one player or one pick kind of deal, they're not working. So I don't know if teams are going to continue to keep trying and taking bites at that apple, but that's the only case where I would be okay with the Patriots not taking a quarterback here. And that includes, I want it to be Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever's available. If it's JJ McCarthy, I will be a tad miffed. I will say that much.
I think over May or Daniels would not be the move.
I'll be in pain. I'll be in pain for sure. Yeah.
All right. Hang on 1 second. Hang on. Uh-oh. Ring. Ring.
Pat's got Brandon, the banana phone.
Brandon, answer the hypothetical phone.
What do I hold? Hello?
Hello, Minnesota Vikings GM. This is Arizona Cardinals GMs. Would you be interested in a trade-up for the 4th overall pick, which would entail me taking the 11th pick and the 23rd pick?
I would indeed, because we are starting Sam Darnold, and if we continue to start Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson may just leave. And so, yes, I would be very interested, even though this is going to result in J.J. McCarthy, which our fan base will not be happy about. But yes, I am interested.
Ah, okay. And okay, click. Click. The reason why I chose the Vikings over, say, the Broncos, say, the Raiders, some other teams that have been linked to possibly trading up, is they've got the ammo. You know, with the 11th and the 23rd pick. And the other question is, why would the Cardinals do this when you've got, you know, a potentially generational receiver here? Cardinals got a lot more problems than that. And if they could get, for an extra first this year and maybe like a first next year for this spot right here, I think they have to move back. I think they have to. And again, we saw it with like the Texans last year. They can always just move back up. Like, if they trade out, they can, they don't necessarily have to pick at 11. They can, they can move up here. Again, so what do we think here? So, like, I'll still make the pick.
You make the pick, yeah.
And then the Cardinals will file into 11 and 23, which would both be under your discretion.
I'm under my jurisdiction, yes.
Okay. Correct. In the least shocking pick, the Minnesota Vikings now select J.J. McCarthy from Michigan.
Yeah, I think it's a likely outcome. I think, I made the joke on our fake phone call, but like, this is a team that has yet to extend Justin Jefferson, and I think making Justin Jefferson play an entire season with Sam Darnold is not a good way to induce some goodwill into him and make him want to resign. And again, obviously, you can play the franchise tag game if you want. Technically, they don't have to just let Jefferson walk after this year if they can't come to terms on a deal. But I don't think that's a game they're going to want to play. I think they need to at least show a level of effort to finding a quarterback that can be there, for a while and be the quarterback for a competitive team. The fact that we saw Jefferson frustrated at times with Kirk Cousins under center, I think says a lot, because now what's going to happen when he's got Sam Darnold under center? They need to at least get a guy like JJ who has a reasonable shot of, being a decent NFL quarterback, just not a guy I want to see in a Patriots uniform if Drake May is available, but still has a chance, showed some flashes at Michigan, and now he's going to stay in a M state and go to Minnesota there and play with Justin Jefferson. So I think it makes sense. All right. At number 5, we've got the Los Angeles Chargers.
Got to be looking at hypothetical chops here.
I am. And here's the funny thing, Pat, and I've said this a few times, that I still don't think it's going to happen, but God, it would be so funny if they took Joe Alt. It would be so funny, because Harbaugh, Greg Roman, they keep saying they want to run the ball. They pillaged all their receivers away. Let's just commit to running the ball. Let's get a tackle here. But no, they are going to go, especially if he's actually still here, Marvin Harrison Jr. to pair with Justin Herbert. And look, I think this is a case where the fantasy value would be absolutely massive for Marvin Harrison Jr. Because while I do think, and they've outright said that the Chargers and Harbaugh have, like, they're going to run the ball a lot, this is a case where you can mentally consolidate those targets essentially to one place, so that when they do throw the ball, even if it's only, 25 times in a game, 13 of them might be to Marvin Harrison Jr. from big arm Justin Herbert. And I think that is an incredibly valuable piece to have.
Yeah, not only from, obviously the real-life perspective, but from our fantasy perspective, Marvin Harrison on the Chargers.
Yeah.
He's going awfully early.
I would imagine second round, I think, Marvin Harrison.
I was going to say, I think it would be hard for him to kind of go as high as Bijan did last year as a rookie, or even Jahmyr Gibbs for that matter, just because running backs, there's obviously, at least there should be a lot more guaranteed value. As opposed to a wide receiver, on a given game, that value could not be there, but I think it's a no-brainer. Like I said, the Chargers, are going to be really happy. And I think this team here is going to be really happy as well with the trickle-down here, a little Ronald Reagan action going on here. a lot of talks about a quarterback. Daniel Jones has been underwhelming, injured now, coming off an injury. But they can't go with a quarterback at 6 with the big 4 off the board. And the fact that Malik Nabers is here is an absolute must-draft, and it's a slam dunk for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, that is huge. I I'm very much on record that I don't think Daniel Jones is the guy, but you're right, Pat. I mean, if you're sitting in this situation, you essentially the rumor right now is that the Giants and Vikings are both trying to trade up actually into number three with the Patriots, but either way, they're both trying to get a quarterback. Yeah. And if they get beat out by a better offer from the Vikings, you just kind of gotta sit and deal with Daniel Jones for another year and, you know, go with the next best option, which is Malik Nabers, a guy that many people believe could actually be a better NFL wide receiver than Marvin Harrison Jr. Very different types of players, and I do think Marvin will end up being the first one off the board, as we have here, but it would not be... Every analyst on earth basically is trying to tell you, don't be surprised if Nabers ends up going ahead of Marvin, which has been against what, you know, a lot of mock drafts out there are saying, at least. So, yeah, this is an absolute coup for the Giants, and maybe it could actually get some decent numbers out of Daniel Jones for once. We just have to see if Darren Waller's going to fucking retire or not, too, because that would actually be a factor, I think. I don't know, although he's probably just hurt his hammy anyway, even if he doesn't retire.
Yeah, I don't know how the impact on that one.
All right. At number seven, the Tennessee Titans, one of the strangest teams of the offseason because they have suddenly jumped into just a decision to contend out of nowhere with Will Levis as their quarterback. I did not think that was going to be the route that they took this year, but based on their free agent signings and their trade for Legarius Sneed, seems like they want to be a playoff team this year, and the best way to continue that march toward being a playoff team is to take Joe Alt and shore up that offensive line even further. They're going to have a two-headed monster at running back of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, which is super interesting. We'll have to pick that one apart a little bit more as the season gets closer, but it's not bad, I don't think. But the O-line is where everything starts, and if this team is truly trying to contend and they think Will Levis can actually be a guy to, you know, lead them to a playoff appearance or, God forbid, a Super Bowl one day. I say God forbid just because it sounds insane to say. Joe Alt would be a massive cornerstone piece if he can be the game-changing sort of tackle that he is projected to be.
Again, in such a wide receiver-heavy draft, even though they did, Calvin Ridley. They went out and got Calvin Ridley. They could still use a receiver, but I think the line is just such a big need. And again, Joe Alt being here, when you've got two teams like the Chargers and the Giants in front of you that could use some offensive line reinforcement, you've got to love that. So that's we've got a lot of good picks for these teams so far.
Who's going to do the stupid thing? Someone in the real draft is going to do something stupid at some point. We're giving all these teams a lot of credit for, like, you're making the best pick possible. So we're giving them maybe too much credit.
And I think I'm going to do the same thing here, and I'm going to have the Falcons take edge rusher Dallas Turner out of Alabama. Okay. Again, getting Kirk Cousins in there with Bijan and Drake London and Kyle Pitts, all top 10 draft picks. What if they just took like a Dunze? Like, if they just kept piling on here. They've set a thing up. The offensive line has been solid, and the defense hasn't been too bad either, but edge rusher is really their biggest position of need. And to get the top defensive player, am I losing my shit? He's our top defensive player. Yeah, getting not only the top edge rusher, but the top defensive player off the board is huge. And again, I think it's just a no-brainer for Atlanta here if this is how the draft plays out.
Yeah, it would be pretty funny if they just went receiver again and went with Odunze, especially because it's not like there's not a spot for him. I mean, they're currently slated to start, you know, Drake London's obviously great, but then it's Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore, both acquisitions from this offseason, and both guys that we've kind of been hoping for more from for a few years. I mean, Darnell Mooney, I think, is a perfectly fine wide receiver too, and Rondale Moore is a decent enough wide receiver three, but there is a spot there for Odunze, but I think you made the right call there going on the defensive side instead. And this is a Falcons team that could be scary. Like, if Kirk Cousins is actually the best version of himself, this team could be really, really impressive top to bottom, and I think they're going to take the NFC South crown from the Bucks for the first time in 4 years and possibly, you know, win a playoff game or two here. Yeah. We'll see if Kirk is actually built for that or not, because he struggled to do so in Minnesota, but in Atlanta, we'll see if things could maybe be a different story. All right, we've got the Chicago Bears here at number nine, and man, I am trying to figure out what the best move is here, because I've seen a lot of mocks, Pat, where they do get Rome Odunze here. And I don't know if that makes the most sense to me, just because now they have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I mean, I guess you just have a ridiculously elite combination of receivers at that point, and you really kind of make it foolproof for Caleb Williams to at least have the pass catchers. I mean, he may not have the line. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Roma Dunze here. Wow. And give them a combination that they can have for years to come. Because, look, I think Keenan Allen is an awesome sort of vet safety blanket kind of guy to have as a rookie. But you also need to start thinking about, if Caleb Williams is your franchise guy, who are you going to pair with him for the long run? DJ Moore has enough years ahead of him for it to be, you know, for the long run. But I think Adunze, bringing him in, have him sit, quote unquote, behind Keenan Allen for a year. I mean, learning from him at the very least. That's a really soft landing for Adunze as well, as he learns to try to be a pro from, you know, one of the most professional receivers we have in this league. So I'm going to go with Adunze and just really stack it up here for Chicago.
That's nasty work on your part there. But I do think it's realistic. Again, a team with a good amount of needs, but not the wide receiver isn't, you know, they could still afford to get a little better at wide receiver, but that's one of those like luxury picks. And I don't know if Chicago's in a position to do a luxury pick, but I would not put it past them to, nonetheless. All right.
That's fair.
Number 10 here. The pick made in heaven. Get ready to learn conspiracy, buddy. Brock Bowers to the New York Jets here. A perfect fit. A perfect fit for a team that needs another weapon around Aaron Rodgers, specifically a tight end. You know, they've still got Garrett Wilson and, what was it, like Tyler Conklin and... Was Ryan Griffin still on the Jets?
Oh, like, God. I have no idea.
So, like,
he might be.
Not only is this, like, kind of like the flashy pick, but it's a good one. It's a good one. This is Brock Bowers, you know, kind of reading some scouting reports. Like, this guy seems to be a better prospect than Kyle Pitts was. You know, this is one of the top tight end prospects we've seen in a long time. Hopefully he works out better than Kyle Pitts, but he does not have Arthur Smith to bring him down. So in that Aaron Rodgers offense, this guy is just a mismatch freak. His speed, not great blocker, but who cares? who cares at this point? But yeah, I think Brock Bowers is the guy here. And hey, maybe Jets fans will be happy for once in their miserable lives.
I don't want to see Brock Bowers in a Jets uniform as a Patriots fan, but that is a great fit. Immediately slots in as a fantasy, you know, obviously tight end one, but maybe even a top six guy if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, because you're looking at Garrett Wilson as the wide receiver one, and then, I mean, I know they brought in Mike Williams, but are we really factoring him in to play more than two games in a row at any point? He'll play, but there's definitely a role there for somebody that can be a little more consistent, like we think Brock Bowers might be able to be. So, yeah, I think that's a good pick, and one of the more commonly mocked picks outside of the top three that I've seen in the process. So I think that makes a lot of sense. All right. At 11, we've got the Arizona Cardinals picking from the pick that they acquired from the Minnesota Vikings, and we are officially completing the brand draft a defensive player challenge, because I am going to give them, who am I going to give them? I'll give them cornerback Quinyon Mitchell, because, look, this is really splitting hairs between the cornerbacks. I've seen the corners ranked in all sorts of different ways, so I'm just going to go with... I like going with the small school guys. I mean, the dude's from Toledo. If he made a name for himself there, I love that. And the Cardinals need some corner help. So whether it is Quinyon Mitchell or it's Terrion Arnold or it's Nate Wiggins or whoever they go with, the Cardinals' starting corners right now are Sean Murphy Bunting and Garrett Williams, who were both outside the top 90 in PFF coverage rating last year. So that makes them both barely startable like cornerback threes on any team, let alone the starting secondary for a team. So I'm going to give them Quinyon Mitchell, hope that they can shore up that defensive side a little bit. And while Cardinal fans, I'm sure, would be upset that they've got Quinyon Mitchell in a Cardinals uni and not Marvin Harrison, I think overall, Pat, based on that trade, it's still going to end up serving them better overall, because this team, like you said, they've got some needs up and down.
Which is why I think trading down, even with Marvin Harrison on the board, is not the worst thing in the world. I don't want to do this. I'm thinking about trading out. Like
Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country,
I mean, I guess now is the perfect time to touch on the fact that Zach Wilson is now a Denver Bronco. He joins Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci in that quarterback room. I personally don't think it means a fuck in terms of whether or not they're going to draft a quarterback. But... you know, again, in this situation, they can't trade up. And I'm personally, I'm not giving them Bo Nix. I'm not going to do it. So quit asking. Now, this is just tough here because I feel like Quinion Mitchell would have been a good fit there.
Especially once they trade Pat Surtain.
Yeah, potentially. Man, it's already that point of the
I've put Pat in a pickle at number 12.
The first intentionally bad pick of the draft?
I mean, look, I made that point on Twitter where I was like, all these mocks put teams in too much of good faith, ignoring the fact that some teams are going to do dumb shit. So I don't think it's out of the question to take a team, it's like the Broncos especially, that has done some dumb shit and project them to do more dumb shit. Not every pick has to be the pick you would make if you were the GM, you know?
Let's give him Leiatu Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA.
Aw, boo. Good pick, boo.
I was debating between him and Jared Verse from Florida State. I'll go with Latu. A lot of Hawaiian guys, or, you know, Pacific Islander guys here in this 10 to 12 picks. I was not looking forward to pronouncing some of these names. So you'll do it, and I won't.
I think I know how to pronounce some of them, but God, I'm not really sure.
Seeing three others. Three other Pacific Islander names here. So, but you know, our white is showing through with our inability to pronounce things correctly. But yeah, I don't think Broncos fans are going to be happy with this. But
that's too fucking bad.
I could see a dud pick.
I can't imagine the Broncos are happy about the Zach Wilson trade today. Like I'm torn on it, Pat, because you said like you don't think this will preclude them from drafting a quarterback, and like I want to agree with you because it's Zach fucking Wilson, but at the same time, like, the Broncos made an intentional call to go trade for Zach Wilson, and like I know they didn't give up much of note. They moved back they moved back a single round. They traded a sixth for a seventh in that deal, but it's like, what? You're gonna trade for Zach Wilson, which tells me you plan to have him on the roster this year at least. And then if you draft a rookie quarterback, then you're gonna be having two quarterbacks on your roster that you're trying to like build up into NFL starters because neither one of them are. And you clearly see something in Zach Wilson. I don't know what Sean Payton and company are doing with that Zach Wilson trade. I do think the only thing it does for me is it makes it where there is now a non-zero chance that they don't draft a quarterback. Like, that's where I'm coming from with it. I figured before they had to take one, essentially. My camera just says my internal temperature is too high. So, oh, yeah, okay, my camera's going to just shut off. That's sick.
Yay, Pat Show.
We got the Pat Show. But, like, I feel like they're still going to...
Yay, the No One Show. All right. No, I'm still here.
they're still going to at least look at the quarterback position. They're going to look at Michael Penix. They're going to look at Bo Nix. But I don't think Leiatu Latu is a bad pick by any means. Certainly a sort of a best player available type of vibe here, and I don't think it's a bad idea.
One of the best players available at their biggest position of need other than quarterback. Yeah. I don't think he's the best player available, but
yeah. All right, Pat, I'm about to make a pick for your Las Vegas Raiders, and out of courtesy, I want to ask, what would you do here if the draft had shook out this way to this point? What would be your ideal pick as a Raiders fan?
Well, first of all, as we know, Bo Nix called Mark Davis ugly.
Mm-hmm.
As we reported live on Off the Bench a month or so ago.
We did.
So that's not happening.
Yep. He's not
I
wrong.
Don't want Bo Nix here. I don't want Michael Penix here. Again, this is a team that does have other needs and is not horribly out of contending.
Yep.
I mean, they put up a pretty good fight last year with Aiden O'Connell. I think their biggest need is offensive line, and I think the best bet for that is, in my opinion, Troy Fautanu from Washington, just because he could play on the edge, probably more of a guard, but that could be what they need. But I hope it's somebody on that offensive line.
All right. So what's your plan then at the quarterback position in general? Because obviously right now your quarterback of the future is not on the roster. And I think a lot of people are mocking, you know, Penix and Nix or Nix to the Raiders here. So you think we just kind of
eat the
year?
You could argue they still wouldn't have their quarterback in
That's
the future.
True.
You know, obviously both of these guys are like 100 years old. And, you know, Penix's biggest thing is, the injury history. I mean, the extreme injury history. The guy's got a missile. And Nix is kind of like, lacks a bit of arm strength, kind of just, you know, one of these ho-hum, get the job done, but maybe not get the job done. Like, I don't know. He just screams a lot of these, like, milk toast white guys that just does not end up being particularly good.
Yeah.
I'd say just, yeah, I would say roll with what you got this year, do your best, and see what happens next year.
But all right. Well,
you're in charge. You're Mark Davis.
I know.
Put your wig on.
I know. I've taken your advisory into account, and the longer we go and the more we approach draft day, Pat, the more I start to think that neither Michael Penix or Bo Nix are going to go in the first round, which is
look
what
at Will Levis. I mean, look at Will Levis last year. Look at a few years ago in the Kenny Pickett draft when he was the only one that went round one. I feel like teams aren't going to take a quarterback just for the fuck of it. Especially this early.
We project it like every year. And then once you get into these like teens sort of area of the draft, it's like if a quarterback didn't go before this, they're probably just not going to go until the second round. I mean, you do have your rare cases of, you know, Lamar Jackson, which was a bargain pick at 32. And then you've got your, Kenny Pickett in a terrible class. But that, I think, only happened. That I think only happened because he was going to be the first quarterback off the board. You don't see it too much. So I'm with you, Pat, and I will take Troy Fatanu out of Washington for the Las Vegas Raiders. I think this is shaping up for it to be a pick where the fan base is kind of like, what the fuck are we doing? And then maybe you look back in 3-4 years, you've got a different quarterback, and you know Fatanu is really holding down that O-line, and you're like, okay, that was a good pick. Very reminiscent of like Zach Martin with the Cowboys. Not, I don't think the Cowboys were in need of a quarterback at that point, but their fans were very upset about taking
the
lineman.
That was the Johnny Football draft too, wasn't it?
I think so. And it just it turns out
all right.
Multi-time
all right on that one.
Yeah, it turns out you got a multi-time All-Pro lineman. So I'll go Troy Fatanu at number 13 here for.
All right, sticking with the Pacific Islander offensive lineman. New Orleans needs some line help here pretty badly. So let's go with Olamuyiwa Fashanu from Penn State. I fucked that so bad.
I don't.
Apologies.
You know, I don't think it was that bad. Olamuyiwa Fashanu, I feel like. Also, is he Pacific Islander, or are we just making that up?
I don't know.
I mean, he's from Maryland.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know what the like the heritage is. But might be canceled.
Oh boy,
right.
Show's over. Go
as Pat continues to try to spell Olamuyiwa Fashanu on our show sheet to keep track of the picks we've made. I'll just say,
oh no, I looked him up and I'm wrong, which is why I say, oh no.
The Saints are down bad as a franchise.
I'll
right
see you guys
now.
Next time.
They are in salary cap hell. They are probably not going to compete for a while. This is almost a case where I wouldn't be surprised if they traded out if they got the right offer, just because like they're feel like they're kind of in fuck it mode, Pat, or at least they should be, because they do not have the talent to be a playoff team. Derek Carr is not going to work out, and they're paying him a lot of money to not work out. They've got 13% of their salary cap assigned to the combination of Michael Thomas, Andres Pete, and Marcus May, none of whom are on the football team anymore. So it's a pretty bad situation here for the Saints. But for the sake of this, I think that's a decent pick. All right. The Indianapolis Colts, a team that I think could be sneaky competitive this year if Anthony Richardson stays healthy. Obviously, they're going to be dealing with, you know, the Texans and C.J. Stroud monster that are now suddenly in their division at the blink of an eye. But one of the Colts' biggest needs is absolutely the cornerback position, and so I'm going to take the other guy that I considered here for the Cardinals, and that is Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. If the Colts can get just kind of any sort of contribution here from this defense, I think you could really be looking at a wild card team. And I mean, they could win the division. Like, I think it's too early to say to that they would be like any sort of favorite in the AFC South, but I also think people jump too far into conclusions when they see a team that's, you know, so good like the Texans and got so good so fast that they kind of just pencil them in to immediately win that division again. And I don't think that's necessarily going to happen, or it won't be easy. If I had to pick right now, I am picking the Texans to win the division, but I think the Colts are going to be a pain in the ass for sure. And if they get Terry and Arnold, and if he manages to translate to be a quality NFL corner and do it quickly, the Colts could be a problem here.
I mean, this upcoming season. It could be them too, you know, we're not.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck knows.
All right. Okay. But yeah, that's a good pick. And outside of Mitchell, you know, he may even go. I wouldn't be surprised if he does end up being the first corner off the board there. So
he went to Bama. That's always a bump that some guys will get.
And now, okay. So Seattle's kind of one of those teams, again, who's just kind of like in I don't really know territory. Like, mm-hmm. they probably need more of the defense, offensive line kind of a kind of guy here. So what I will do is sit here and stall. And then take Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle, out of Texas.
Okay.
A very disruptive, more so a much better pass rusher than he is run stopper, but he's a little shorty. He's not quite quite tall, not quite vicious, but you know, hey.
That's fine.
Got the top 10 nose tackle off the list in my opinion here.
I don't hate the pick. I don't hate the pick at all. Pat, I'm cooking up. Oh, you're typing. Wow. I'm cooking up something dirty here. Cooking up something dirty here for the Jaguars. And it's with a team that I have control of, so you get no say in the matter.
That's rules.
All right. Let's send it. The Jaguars will be trading the 17th overall pick to the San Francisco 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk has been long rumored to be a Jacksonville Jaguar, and I feel like they are kind of just waiting for a ticking time bomb to go off here, which that being draft day actually getting here. And this is about where I think the pick value would be for a guy like Brandon Ayuk. Maybe it's a little too steep at 17, but you don't typically see a receiver or something like that traded for like a top 10 pick. But Brandon Ayuk is talented enough that I don't think this would be a bad pick necessarily. And the Jaguars, after losing out on Calvin Ridley and having to replace him with Gabe Davis, I think this is the kind of move that keeps them competitive and in contention, Pat, in that AFC South, because they're going to suddenly
they need to do something. Yeah.
You know, for years they had the only legitimate looking quarterback in this division, and suddenly they might have the third best quarterback in this division if things play the right way this year. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. So I think they're going to make a splash move and trade for Brandon Ayuk. I think it happens on draft day. And so the 49ers are now on the clock, and as they look forward, Pat, they are going to take Brian Thomas Jr. at wide receiver to replace Brandon Ayuk. They are going to get the cheaper option because they need it, because the Niners are certainly a little more strapped for cash than the Jaguars are. And so they are taking Brian Thomas Jr. here at 17. So there's your trade.
All right. Damn. Yeah. That shakes things up a bit. And yeah, I don't think it's out of the question there that Ayuk would command that 17th pick. I think that's, you know, a very reasonable thing for both teams, for San Francisco to give that and for Jacksonville to want that. So you're having all the fun picks here. I'm picking all these linemen. And you know what I should do then? I might as well just take another one, and I might as well just butcher another poor young man's name here. So out of Oregon State here, let's give them Talese Fuaga, an offensive lineman. Similar to Fatanu, might be a guard, but I think however he works out for Cincinnati, that's okay. As much as they can protect Joe Burrow as possible, the better.
Hmm. Yeah, you made me just look it up, Pat, because I have all the prospects in front of me, and obviously if he ended up being a guard, He's not listed as a guard right now. You know who the top guard is listed on ESPN's top prospects?
Is it like Graham Barton from Duke?
It is none other than UConn Husky Christian Haynes.
Okay.
Number one overall guard. Now, he's the 69th overall player. Nice. Nice. So, you know, he's still not projected to be anything better than a late second rounder.
That project as guards as well. That's the thing. Yeah, sure. Look, I feel like with guards, there's
Graham's listed as a center prospects on their website. Yeah, Graham Barton's a center. So I just thought it was funny to click on any position and see a UConn Husky at the top. Yeah. Go Huskies, baby. We're on top of the world. And with that, the Rams are going to take Christian. No, I'm kidding. No, they're not. Okay. Yeah,
Jesus.
The Los Angeles Rams. So the most glaring change that they have now is Aaron Donald retired, Pat. And that's a problem. So I am going to try to make up for that with Jerzan Newton. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right either. It's a Z and then an H, so I'm doing my best. 6'2", 304-pound defensive tackle out of Illinois. It's going to take a village to replace Aaron Donald. You're not going to be able to do it with one guy. I mean, you don't have a lot of defensive players that every single snap, you know, command two offensive linemen to be able to hold them back. But Aaron Donald has been one of them for basically a decade. 10-time Pro Bowler, 8-time All-Pro. Going to take a village to replace him. I think they start to try to replace him in this year's draft with Jerzan Newton. And it's going to be a tough one for the Rams this year, because I think last year, everyone was already expecting them to take a step back because of, you know, Stafford had this mysterious back injury and their offense was just Cooper Kupp and nothing else. And then all suddenly out of nowhere, we got Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua, two of the best offensive players in football, and Matt Stafford looks fine, and so they're great. Now they have an entirely different challenge. I think there is yet again a risk of them taking a big step back. They ended up going 10-7 last year. If they don't, you know, pull something together here on defense, I could see this kind of being a slow decline over the next couple of years. But they're going to try and slow or prevent that decline, I think, by addressing the defensive side of the ball with this pick and, you know, try to make up for the massive, massive hole that Aaron Donald leaves behind.
Yeah, both literally and figuratively. Am I really going to pick another fucking lineman? I'm so mad, but, like, I'm trying to stay true here.
Pat's going for all the big boys.
All the big boys. You know I love me them big boys. But I'm going to do it. Like, this guy, the only really big thing for him is that he is basically pretty much limited to right tackle. But he's a big boy. He's got the Alabama name. Let's go with J.C. Latham to the Steelers here at pick 20. Yeah, I forgot where we were for a second.
We are at 20. Pick 20. All right, fair enough. Yeah, the Steelers, you know, heading into a bit of a new era here. They've got Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. They've got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields at the quarterback position. And whoever ends up, you know, playing more games under center, both of those guys have had some problems getting sacked. So I think this is a smart move to continue to try to protect those guys, because protecting them is the only way that you're going to get the most out of them, whether it's getting whatever's left of Russell Wilson or getting the actual potential to be juiced out of Justin Fields. It's got to start with having a decent O-line that can protect those guys. So I think that is a very logical pick.
Yeah.
Okay. The Miami Dolphins. Man, Pat, straight up, I don't know what the fuck the Dolphins need. All right, let's do this. Dolphins draft needs, and we'll go from there. All right, according to this, offensive line, defensive line, edge rusher. So the same thing.
Unfortunately, there are no offensive linemen available.
The same thing that everyone needs. And yeah, Pat has monopolized the offensive line, so we're fucked there. Okay, let's do, I guess let's go to the edge, because they are definitely down bad there. Who do we have left at the edge? Is there anyone good? Oh, yeah. Let's go. Wait, did anyone take, we didn't take Jared Verse yet, did we?
No, we did not.
Okay, we'll give the Dolphins falling Jared Verse, because I suspect Jared Verse,
damn good pick.
I suspect Jared Verse will be gone by this point, and this could end up being Chop Robinson or somebody else. But I'll go with Jared Robinson. Verse and address a position that currently the Dolphins are slated to start Jonathan Harris and Zach Sealer. And that is a, you know, former 7th-round pick. Well, I guess Zach Sealer, let me see. This is, Zach Sealer had 10 sacks last year. Maybe I got to put some respect on his name. But, you know, hopefully Jared Verse could actually do a little more than that. Jonathan Harris, on the other hand, one sack, so certainly an unproven player out of Lindenwood, no less. So, yeah, I think this is a solid fit for the Dolphins. But the Dolphins need to just figure out how to play in the fucking cold, and maybe having a better defense will do that. I don't know, but we'll start with Jared Verse.
Okay. I feel like that's been the best value of the draft, of our fictitious draft so far. Hey, Brent, I don't know if you know this, but Jason Kelce retired.
Okay, yeah, here we go.
But I'm not going in that direction.
You're not going line.
When was the last non-offensive line pick I made?
For you?
One, two. Oh, no, I took a defensive line.
Byron Mitchell.
One, two, three, four, five. But my last five guys have been all in the trenches.
You haven't taken an offensive player since Brock Bowers at pick 10.
Oh, my. But this guy here, like, I feel like this guy is just, like, too sneaky athletic to get away from the Eagles right now. You know, first one in the gym, last to leave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really hard-working guy here. Yeah. And the thing is about this guy, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, is the kid can actually really play. I mean, his really only big thing is he's kind of like a tweener. Mm-hmm. But he's a ball hawk, and he would be the only white starting quarterback in the current NFL, so you know he'll have a cult fan status from, you know, certain groups, but even just like the meme guys in the league, you know, they'll enjoy that. But I feel like outside of the line, corner is a big need for the Eagles. So, and that'll be our boy Cooper DeJean here at 22.
Do you want to put some respect on Riley Moss, also a white corner, but not a starter? So Cooper DeJean, provided.
I don't know who that is.
Provided he also went to Iowa. He got drafted last year.
God damn it.
Riley Moss is actually he's a second string corner, so he does play a little bit for Denver.
All right, so Riley Moss on my radar.
But yeah, if Cooper DeJean gets, you know, the lion's share of playing time as a starting corner, that will definitely be a new experience for us watching a white corner actually play. Okay, I like that pick there, Pat. Now we've got the Cardinals on the clock at 23, again, a result of the trade. And the Cardinals are going to address the receiver position here. And yeah, it's a guy that I don't think is going to escape the first round. It's A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, one of the, I think, highest upside receivers here. I mean, look, everyone's got high upside in the first round, but I think probably widest range of outcome receivers that's going to go in the first round. And I think it would be really fun to watch him work with Kyler Murray. And again, to bring it back to fantasy football just a little bit, like, this is one of those players, Pat, that also such a wide range of outcomes in fantasy football. Because this is going to be a guy that, as long as he adjusts to the NFL in any reasonable amount of time, like, he's going to play all the snaps for that team, and he immediately becomes he could be a wide receiver two, or even a low-end wide receiver one, just based on volume, like with Kyler Murray in that offense. So I think that would be super exciting. That would be a super fun debate to have if he ended up in Arizona. Like, basically, if Arizona gets any receiver that's not, you know, Morrison or Malik Nabers, or like a slam dunk receiver that you already know or think the talent's there and is going to translate to the NFL level, you know, it becomes such a fun debate about, like, all right, now we got to think, is it going to translate? Because if it does, man, this guy is in line for just all the work in the world. And that's a reality we could face with A.D. Mitchell. But it's a great fit for Mitchell himself. No question about it.
Oh, and even, like you said, again, from a fantasy perspective, we love Trey McBride on this podcast, but there's still going to be a lot of targets to go around on that team. So, yeah, I like the pick, and he would have been my next choice. Like, you know, I'm my next wide receiver off the board, per se. Now, my question for you, Bran, is, what is our policy on teams trading back into the first round?
I think it's fine. I have no issue with it.
Interesting. Ring, ring, ring.
You're calling me?
No, I'm calling myself. Don't worry, I'm calling myself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is Jerry. No, I'm not gonna do that, but this Cowboys at this point, their biggest position of need is running back. And you better not take a running back in this first round. Mm-hmm. You better not do it. And they really need some linemen, but thanks to me, most of the good linemen are gone. At least the guys that should be going in this range, most of them are gone. So I'm just like manhandling this banana. I'm just sitting here stroking this banana, not even realizing it. That's I got linemen in my trenches. I'm holding on a banana. Why am I still holding it? Okay, the phone's ringing again. Hello? Oh, it's the Broncos. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Love you too. Okay. Bye bye. Mm-hmm. All right. With no other quarterbacks going at this point, I think we are. If that is the case, I think we're going to see another team jump back in. Then the question is, for the Broncos in this situation, who would they rather pick? And I think in this case, they would be more likely to take Bo Nix here.
Okay. Okay. So the Broncos trade back into the first round with the Cowboys to take Bo Nix. Very interesting.
That's a Mad Lib-ass sentence.
That is very interesting. I felt this whole time like Michael Penix is going to end up going ahead of Bo Nix, but I understand they're both very much on the same tier. So it's also funny that their last names are so similar. But look, either way, I think it's fine. The Broncos certainly could use a quarterback with some actual upside, as we mentioned before, because Zach Wilson is just not it. Jarrett Stidham, probably not it. Well, and
hang on a minute.
Ben DiNucci, also not it. So I like the pick. I like Bo Nix to the Broncos here. And maybe the Cowboys end up with our boy Jonathan Brooks in the second round at some point. But yeah. I think this pick for now makes a lot of sense. All right. The Green Bay Packers, a team that kind of jumped onto the radar a little bit unexpectedly because they had a gaggle fuck of receivers that kind of all ended up being pretty good. No, we're not going to take a receiver here. That'd be such a cop-out. No. Okay, let me see what I want to do here. I think I know what I'm going to do. The Packers are going to go with the best cornerback available, which is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Defense is the move here for Green Bay. Offensively, they signed Josh Jacobs. They got, again, a bunch of at least pretty good receivers to the point where they're not actively looking for somebody to take a starting job anymore. And I think O-line would be a position they could consider, again, if there was a little bit more depth here at this point, but you've run it dry. So we're going to go with corner. We're going to go with Nate Wiggins and put him alongside Jaire Alexander in that secondary.
I guess Kool-Aid McKinstry doesn't exist to you then?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, okay. I think that's the best way to go here. I mean, this is so hard to predict here in the late round. Because, you know, you're not talking like these aren't picks that you necessarily need to nail as opposed to some of these top 15 picks. You could kind of go out on a bit of a limb. So, yeah, that's a fair pick there. All right, Tampa Bay here. I think we're going to go back to the Robinson brothers, who are not brothers, apparently. And get ready to speak chop, because we are going with Chop Robinson out of Penn State, Tampa. I mean, okay. I think that's their certainly biggest need is the edge right now. And again, with a lot of offensive linemen and wide receivers and nonsense going here, they're getting a pretty good one this far down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig that. Obviously, the Buccaneers, it's going to be an uphill battle for them to, keep their stranglehold on the NFC South with how good the Falcons are looking if everything comes together. So I think a guy like Chop Robinson could certainly help and, maybe make Kirky a little uncomfortable, because that's going to be the key if they're going to win that division, is them and other teams making Kirk uncomfortable. All right, Pat, what the fuck am I looking at here? Why does this say Cardinals from Arizona? I see this is the correct team.
It's from Minnesota. No, it's...
This is the actual pick as it stands in the NFL
draft.
Oh,
it's from Houston.
Okay. That makes sense. Man, I didn't realize that we finagled the Cardinals into getting three fucking first-round picks. God, good for them. And I made all of them. All right, Cardinals, your fate is in my hands, I guess. Oh, boy. Okay, so we've taken a corner... We've taken a receiver. I don't think that the Cardinals don't need another receiver, but I don't think that's the route I'm going to go here. Because, look, they're starting Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch. I know you're a big Michael Wilson guy. I feel like Michael Wilson is good enough, though, that they don't need to double dip into receiver if this was how things shaped out for them. So let's see what we want to do for Arizona here. Trying to figure out kind of best players available and need combination. TikTok on. Oh, Chris Moore is also a projected receiver starter. Man, I should probably just give them a fucking receiver, didn't I? I don't think they would take two corners because they just signed Sean Murphy Bunting, so he's definitely going to be earmarked for a starting job. So let's go to page two of the best available, and there is one lineman that's still available, I think.
There's a couple that I have on my list.
I mean, Amarius Mims is still available. Graham Barton's available. I don't really know the state of the Cardinals line. I feel like they're kind of just mid, aren't they? They're not like a great line, but they're not a bad line.
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you.
I couldn't either. So that's where we're at with this. All right. Let's fuck it, Pat. Let's go Ladd McConkey for the Cardinals.
Jesus Christ.
We're giving him Ladd McConkey. You want to talk about lunch pail guy? You want to talk about first one in, last one to leave? Real gym rat, Pat. The Cardinals just got the pinnacle of it with Ladd McConkey. So we are going the McConkinator combining with A.D. Mitchell, and we are just reforming this Cardinals offense. And was this a cop-out pick because I didn't know what the fuck else to do? Maybe. But if it happens, God, I'll look like a genius. We're going Ladd McConkey.
Jeez, man. Come on. All right.
That's what happens when we get this late.
Buffalo needs a wide receiver. I was not going to take Ladd McConkey for them because he's pretty much a slot receiver, and they've got Khalil Shakir, who's a solid slot receiver. Mm-hmm. But you've got Khalil Shakir. You've got Dalton Kincaid, who's kind of going to be more an over-the-middle kind of guy. They really need a big play wide receiver. And there are two right here who have the same first name. And they both have huge red flags as well. One being Xavier Legette, who really was only good for 1 year. I mean, granted, that 1 year was electric, but it's not a great sample size. And then there's Xavier Worthy, who broke the combine record, but is a little skinny boy, and he's not the strongest. Mm-hmm. So either way, you're kind of taking a gamble here. I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy for this one, just because I think that while we haven't seen quite as much of it, I feel that the skill sets is there a bit more, and I think he would, be a guy that would contribute immediately, especially from a fantasy perspective.
I dig that. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of receivers drafted in this first round that are going to be immediately fascinating for fantasy football. And like you said, it's not going to be guys that we're really going to be taking in the first round of fantasy drafts, but there's going to be a lot of, sort of mouthwatering AO picks here overall for fantasy teams, because they're going to be just stepping into such big roles. And I think that would be the case if Xavier Worthy did get drafted by the Bills. All right. The Detroit Lions and number 29 overall. I give them a receiver to... No, I'm kidding. No, I'm not. Let's see what we want to do here. There's two directions that I'm thinking of going here. It's going to be defense either way, and it's probably going to be either corner or edge. Both of them have kind of been, obviously we're sitting at number 29 overall, so both of those positions have been ransacked a bit. So I think I'm going to go with Kool-Aid McKinstry here for the Detroit Lions.
All right, Kool-Aid. All right.
We're going to have to get some of the blue Kool-Aid out here. It was either Kool-Aid McKinstry or Darius Robinson. I think Robinson would have been a fun pick too, just to put somebody kind of on the other side of Aiden Hutchinson, and on that D-line that also added DJ Reader. That would be a big problem, but I think the Lions got so torched through the air last year that they're going to do their best to mitigate that. They've traded for Carlton Davis. They signed Amik Robertson, but getting another corner in there through the draft, I think, would be a very, very smart, logical move for them.
No, certainly would be a good one. All right. Are you sitting down for this one, Bran?
I'm sitting. I've been sitting.
So I'm going to give the Cardinals an offensive line. Cardinals, Jesus Christ. The Ravens an offensive lineman.
Okay.
And I'm surprised this guy's fallen as far. I think he's the best natural interior lineman. We talked about guys like Fatanu and Fuaga, who probably are going to have to move inside. But this is Graham Barton from Duke, who played some center, played some guard, could probably be either one. And while the Ravens need a wide receiver, they probably need some line help more. So that's why I'm going with Barton here.
Okay. I think that makes sense. The Ravens are maybe the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. I know I think I said the same thing about the Texans, but I think both those teams are kind of, you know, neck and neck for who has the best chance to knock off the slowly, quickly building dynasty of the Kansas City Chiefs. And yeah, keeping that line strong will definitely be a key piece to actually doing that and fucking giving us a different Super Bowl champion for once, please. All right. The Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock with their pick from San Francisco. So the Jags have acquired Brandon Ayuk. And now what do we do, Pat? Because we no longer need a receiver. I think there's a few ways we could go here. Again, corner has been kind of ransacked now, especially that I took Kool-Aid McKinstry for the Lions. So that's probably out of the question for a first-round pick.
Yeah, all my corners are off the board.
Yeah, let's go. Hold on, let me confirm this is what I want to do. Yeah, let's get the Jags a little bit of help on the D-line, and let's go with Darius Robinson out of Missouri. This pick, I think, is also very justifiable for the Lions, and honestly, I could see these two picks getting flipped. I could also see neither of these picks being right, which is the most common or most likely scenario. But I'm going to go with Darius Robinson and help out that D-line a little bit in Jacksonville, put somebody alongside Josh Allen, who just signed that massive extension, somebody other than, you know, Roy Robertson Harris. And yeah, I think this is a decent fit for the Jags in their attempt to try to hold their footing there in the South.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick there. Again, not really getting Ayuk.
That's, you know, their real first round pick.
Yeah. They've got Josh Allen as well still on the edge, but I mean, anything can help there. So, all right, man, I should just put like a random name generator out here and just like say, hey Siri, pick a random NFL draft prospect. Okay. Trying to even see how many guys that I even have left here on my board. 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. 10 guys here, so what? I had 42 guys here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do I dare tempt fate? Because the Chiefs wide receivers in early rounds have not been great. I mean, or skill position players altogether. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They took, what's the shitty guy? Sky Moore. I was going to say the shitty guy that's not Rashee Rice. You know, Rashee Rice, well, he looked pretty good on the field. You know, some questionable character here. The thing here is, both of these guys that I really have up top are more these skinny, deep threat kind of guys. And I think that's the last thing Kansas City needs with Hollywood Brown and with Rashee Rice. If they're going to go wide receiver, I think they'd kind of go more of a bigger frame. It would be hilarious if I just gave them the top lineman on my board. I am going to not go with an offensive lineman. Gasp.
Oh, dear.
And for to wrap up our mock draft here, I'm going to have the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman from Florida State. Does not have the speed or the explosiveness of guys like Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy. or Troy Franklin. Doesn't have that kind of speed. But he's a bigger guy, and I feel like that's kind of what they need alongside Travis Kelce rather than another one of these wild card, you know, guys who have a big red flag, at least physically. So yeah, I'll go Keon Coleman to wrap things up here.
Okay, I like the pick. Okay, Pat, I'll say this much. For this being an unrehearsed mock draft, I think this went great. However, I'm going to make one amendment, because in the hustle and bustle of this draft, I made one error, which is that if the Jaguars trade for Brandon Ayuk, they're not getting the 49ers first round pick along with it. There's just no shot that happens. So okay. I'm just going to give Darius Robinson to the Niners.
You could pick Keon Coleman.
I'm okay with the pick. I'm okay with it. I mean, look, the Niners are very much defensive focused anyway. So I don't think it's a bad pick. I'm just going to stick with that. But yeah, I was looking at it. It was just instinctual to flip them when I made the trade. I was like, that's not how that trade's going to go down. So the Niners get Darius Robinson at 31, not the Jaguars. The Jaguars come out with their first round pick being only Brandon Ayuk. But there you go. That's our mock draft. I will actually right after this, make a graphic of this so that we can post it, because people always ask me
fucking wrong.
I should be so wrong. I, Pat, I did hear hear something very enlightening though about mock drafts, where it was like a Reddit thread where they were talking about, oh, are there any draft analysts out there that actually get a bunch of stuff right? Like, why does Mel Kiper have this job if he doesn't actually get stuff right? And why doesn't anybody actually care if they don't get stuff right? And somebody explained, they were like, mock drafts and draft analysts really only exist to put players on, like, college players on NFL fans' radar, and as a way to express what those teams' draft needs are. Like, no one actually cares whether you get stuff right or not, because, you know, if one pick, so I think the first three picks we've got here, Pat, are pretty solid. Like, I think those will be the players that go off the board, whether it's the Patriots actually taking May or not, I don't know, but I think those will be the first three players. But as soon as one pick gets muddied up, the rest of the draft gets muddied up. So you can't really be expected to get a whole mock right. It's just, it's difficult.
And these guys are also prospect analysts. They're not just like us guessing positions of top Me Too team. Like, these guys sit there and watch the film and put in the work. Guys like Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Daniel Jeremiah, these guys, you know, Mike Mayock used to do it as well. Like, these guys catch a lot of shit when they're wrong, but like, these guys put in hours and hours and hours. Todd McShay was on a Pardon My Take either today or yesterday, and he confirmed that Mel Kiper does not own a cell phone, and he has five landlines.
What?
So that man just sits there with just surrounded by landlines, talking to these scouts, talking to these executives, talking to whoever. That is just hilarious. You know, you know, Mel Kiper is like a staple. Like, I guess going on an aside, and I guess we have the time to do it, but the shit Mel Kiper gets, one, he's electric. The dude is insane, genuinely. But he's like a staple. Like, I feel like as a kid always watching the draft, it was always Mel Kiper.
Yeah.
Like, when he finally does retire, it's going to be so different.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like, he's a caricature. I mean, it's a fun character to have on during the draft. I think it's a guy we're used to seeing. It's on you if you're looking for these guys to just leak the picks weeks in advance. Like, if they actually think they know everything that's going to happen, it never works out that way. Every NFL team thinks so differently, and those thoughts change day to day, week to week, that like, trying to predict an entire fucking first round is so hard, especially when you factor in trades. Like, you know, you could be right that a team likes a guy, but they like the offer they just got better for their pick. So it's so many variables. And yeah, I guess I use that as a way to also justify when we get all our picks wrong, don't yell at us. But yeah, like, truly, mock drafts are just for fun and to, again, talk about what teams need, what the most logical pick would be. And then, you know, Pat, we wouldn't watch the draft if it just went according to plan every year. The chaos is the beauty of it. Last year, Bryce Young going one, Stroud going two, and then the Texans immediately trading back up to number three was hilarious and amazing and so much fun. And I hope we get another moment like that. Not somebody trading up to three, though, because it just makes the draft that much more enjoyable. So that's my tangent on mock drafts in general. And this is our mock draft. Enjoy it. Bask in it. I'll get a pick out of it eventually. But thank you guys for listening to us. Now, we will finish out with some draft-related viewer questions.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Before you go on,
you
could ask the question and then go first, because your boy, shockingly, has to pee.
Okay, that's fine. So this question actually comes from Tactical Mech, who also asked another question, which was, are you ready for all of this to be over? To which I say, yes, I am so excited for the mocks and such to be over with. Even my own. I'm just excited for the draft to actually happen and not keep speculating about the process. But his actual question was, what's one pick any team could make that would make you want to throw rocks at them? My answer to that is Joe Alt getting picked by the Chargers, because, again, it's one of those picks that just hilariously, I could see it happen. The Chargers blatantly need a receiver, and they will come out of this draft with at least one, if not two, receivers, but there's this morbid part of me that could see them taking a lineman at five and then just addressing receiver later on. I don't think it'll happen, but, like, I don't think it's impossible. So I'm going to go ahead and say Joe Alt getting picked at number five. I'm sure I had the pick right. Yeah, number five, especially if things played out the way our mock draft did, in which Marvin Harrison Jr. was available at the fifth overall pick. If the Chargers went with a lineman in that case, that would probably be a riot-worthy scenario. Also, I'm full screen now. What's up, fam? See if Pat ends up back in here, if he's just got to forever. Okay, our next question. Who is going to make the biggest move up? This question from the real Andy B. Who's going to make the biggest move up? I think, let's see, what did we have in our mock, the biggest move up? I guess it was the Vikings moving up to 4 for J.J. McCarthy. I think, I'm not sure if I think the Vikings actually get that deal done or not. I think, yeah, I'll go with the Vikings. I'll say the Vikings make the biggest move up. Pat just texted me and said he lost Wi-Fi. RIP to Pat. That makes sense. I'm gonna go with the Vikings. I say they go up and get J.J. McCarthy. I don't know who they're gonna trade with to do it. I guess it would have to be the Cardinals, because if they traded up with the Patriots to 3 to get McCarthy, there would be riots for that as well. And I just hope they don't steal Drake May from underneath our noses. Next question. Thoughts on Neighbors possibly being drafted before Harrison? Question from TD Drums. Excuse me. I don't think that happens. I have seen the rumblings of that here and there, but I think when push comes to shove in the NFL draft, we're going to see Marvin Harrison be the first receiver off the board. Now, does that mean Marvin Harrison is clear in a way the best receiver in the class and is going to work out a lot better than Malik Neighbors? No, I very much believe that Malik Neighbors could end up being the better NFL wide receiver, but based on just all of the chatter up to this point, I think Marvin Harrison is going to end up being the pick. Next question. Which NFL team right now has the bleakest future and which has the most exciting? Bleakest future, I think, in the interim has to be the Carolina Panthers, just because, you know, yeah, they've got Bryce Young. Yeah, maybe Bryce Young figures it out. But to be the worst team in football in 2023 and to not have your first round pick, like you trade those first rounders, you trade multiple first rounders to be better, like immediately, like pretty quickly be at least not the worst team in the league. And the fact that the Panthers couldn't do that is very, very discouraging for them. They are now trying out a new head coach who I'm excited for. I like Dave Canales. I'm excited to see what he can do. But I think they got to be the bleakest one. Outside of them, I guess I would just say maybe the Saints, because they're in cap hell and I don't see a way out for them. It's like the Panthers, at least, you know, if they're garbage again this year, you know, they can kind of just hard reset things. The Saints have so much money tied up because they've just been so bad with it that I don't know when they get out of the situation that they're in. Then you've got, obviously, the Broncos, you got the Vikings, these teams. Basically, if you don't have a quarterback, you're in kind of a bad spot. But bleakest future, I guess I'll go with the Panthers, with the Saints kind of right behind them. Shout out to the NFC South, I guess. And final question, on CTESPN, Antonio Brown's Twitter account or news agency or whatever you want to call it, it says that Justin Herbert was traded to the Vikings. Do you know if it's true? This question from Kason from the A. Yes, I can confirm that. No. I will say I've seen that rumor quite a bit, and it's not true, and don't trust CTESPN. And let me bring Pat back into the show here. Pat, welcome back after your Wi-Fi debacle. Christ. How was that?
Literally, like, the second I got up and left, I stopped hearing you. I'm like, oh, he's lagging. And then, like, it just was an eternal lag. And then I came back and all of my tabs were, you are not connected to the internet, which I am literally connected. I am literally connected to the internet.
With
so
a wire?
I don't know how it happened, but I restarted my computer. And we're here. We're here.
All right. Well, I've gone through every question. So if you, I don't know if you have any strong thoughts on any of them, if you want to touch on like one or two. I said that one pick any team could make that would make me want to throw rocks at them. I said the Chargers taking Joe Alt would just be funny. And it's something I floated and I could actually see. I was like, they're going to draft a receiver at some point, but I just think it would be funny and not impossible for them to maybe address receiver in the second round or trade back in the first or something and just take Joe Alt because, you know, Harbaugh and Roman fall in love with him. But is there a pick that you think could make fan bases just really want to fucking off themselves or make you want to throw rocks at them? Is there anything crazy out there?
I mean, honestly, the Vikings taking J.J. McCarthy might make them. Honestly, at least for me, it's like the Raiders or Broncos trading up to not get one of the big four, or even taking one not of the big four. Even from the Raiders' perspective, I only want them to trade up if they're getting Jaden Daniels, which seems to be the only scenario, but I don't see it happening. But no, I think Vikings fans are going to be unhappy. I don't think it's really necessarily founded. Like,
He might be fine. Yeah. I mean, it's just he's definitely going to be like the pariah quarterback of this draft, regardless of where he ends up going. And then, Pat, the other question I want to get your thoughts on was which NFL team right now has the bleakest future and which has the most exciting? I actually ADHD'd myself and only answered the first half of it anyway, which I said the Panthers have the bleakest, at least in the interim.
It has to be.
My logic was just like you can't trade your first round pick and then go and be the worst team and then not have that first round pick. Like that is a massive just whiff of a strategy. So I said them. But which team has the most exciting future? I didn't even answer that one, so let me just look at the list of teams here real quick and see if anything jumps out at me. I mean, like, I guess you got to go with like the Texans and the Packers. I think I think the Texans and the Packers are on such similar trajectories. They're both in. Well, the only difference with the Packers is that they're not in the first year of a rookie deal like the Texans are. So I guess the Texans, if you really have to only pick one of them, because the Packers are gonna have to pay Jordan Love here pretty soon. But yeah, the Texans, like, that turnaround is so wild, and to have that much young talent, to have a quarterback who's already arguably top five, like. It's got to be them, and yeah. I think they already exceeded expectations, made a playoff game this year. They could exceed expectations even further next year and find themselves potentially in an AFC title game or even a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it is the Texans, just because not only are they well-equipped now, they're going out and making moves. Like, they're going and trading for Stephon Diggs. Not only are they building a great foundation, like, say, the way Green Bay is, Houston's being aggressive because they're seeing Kansas City. They're seeing Baltimore. They're seeing Buffalo lose in the playoffs every year. Like, they see the competition they have, and they think, like, hey, we can do this, but we need more. And they're doing it. And agreed completely on the Panthers as well. And this isn't to say that Bryce Young is toast, but I think there's still a very good chance that he turns out to be a solid quarterback. But to trade up like that and then to miss out on Caleb Williams because of it, and then to watch the Texans take C.J. Stroud, who has immediate success, like not even just like a solid year for a rookie, like immediate success. Like,
yeah,
he, you know, I'd say he's the worst, but like a top seven quarterback in the league. That's probably really lowballing it too in his rookie year. That's just such a tough look. It's such a tough look for the Panthers.
Yeah, it's not. I see the Panthers, and it's like these great quarterbacks that they could have had are just going to haunt them. Like, you see C.J. Stroud, who went a pick after, and then Caleb Williams, who's about to get picked with the pick that they would have had if they didn't trade it. Granted, I guess the Panthers might not have been this bad this year if Bryce Young wasn't their quarterback as a result of that trade. So maybe they wouldn't have had the number one overall pick, but still, just. It's a tough scene for the Panthers. The only thing I said, Pat, while you were away as well, is that the Panthers at least have a way to hard reset this pretty soon, whereas a team like the Saints, again, are in just such a cap hell that it's like, I don't know when they're making their way out. I was like, they've got a case. I think the Broncos have a case because of having to eat the Russell Wilson contract. But right now, I think just the most logical pick is the Panthers. So that's what I'm going to go with there. But that'll do it for this episode of Off the Bench. Pat, you got anything to say before we head into draft day, as we are in draft week? It's a beautiful week.
No, sadly, I've picked the worst week of the year, potentially, to go on a trip. The week of and after the draft. Not only will I not be here for the draft, I will not be here for next week's show, very sadly. I will be in fucking Portland, godforsaken Oregon.
The vacation destination of all vacation destinations.
I don't even know if this is a vacation. This is like, I don't know what it is, but
it's an excursion.
I'm going to be in Portland for a long time, and I don't like flying. So, so I'm not looking forward to that. But tomorrow night, going to Yankee Stadium, if the Yankees lose again to the A's, I'm going to be fucking pissed. Did you see what happened? I'm sure you saw what happened today.
Today, yeah, with the ump throwing Boone out, yeah.
You know, just the check swing call is what it is. The him squawking back at Boone is what it is. It's the doubling down after the game, really, that is a terrible look. And especially, he hasn't even watched the video yet. And I'm going into a way niche topic right here.
Not that niche.
Quickly.
Honestly, that's probably it's gone pretty viral.
Oh,
no.
I'm going deeper.
Go ahead.
So this umpire, Hunter Wendelstadt, this is his 27th year in the major leagues. His father, Harry, was a longtime umpire. His father opened an umpire school that Hunter now runs. It produces the most MLB umpires. And he's not a crew chief, and he's never been a crew chief. I think that's very, very telling. We talk a lot about Angel Hernandez, how, you know, he's been around for just as long, never been promoted to crew chief. And nobody talks about this guy, Hunter Wendelstedt, who is literally in the lineage of umpire royalty, and they do not want to make him a crew chief. They've got guys who have been in the umpiring for half the time as he has, as crew chiefs now, and not him. Just telling. Some people call him old school. I like to call him bad.
So what,
that really fired me up today about that in particular, who it was.
Yeah, it was brutal. For anybody that didn't see it, it was during a Yankee game. Wendelstedt essentially warned Aaron Boone to stop chirping, and Aaron Boone, Yankees manager, did in fact stop chirping. The camera was on him the entire time, literally did not say a word. A fan behind Boone said something, and the umpire then promptly threw Boone out. Boone runs at him going, "I didn't say anything." And then after the game, Wendelstedt's defense was, "Boone is in charge of the Yankees. I don't care who on the Yankees said it." It wasn't someone on the Yankees. No. It was a fan. So
did you see the guy change his shirt? Like, the guy had a blue shirt on when he called.
No, I didn't.
So then they were like, the guy had a blue shirt on, and then you looked at all the pictures of him, and he's just in a white shirt. They're like, this guy like pulled the Bobby Valentine phony mustache.
I mean,
disguise there. Nobody's fucking buying that guy.
I mean, I get it from just like, you don't want other fans to be mad at you, but it's like, you're allowed to chirp. And I know, but you're allowed to chirp and ump. Like, well, fuck that.
People at work, they were talking about, oh, they should have thrown him out. It's like, why? People are chirping the umpire everywhere. He didn't go over the line.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Unless you cross a line at an umpire, literally everybody in the stadium, the people in the nosebleeds are saying, oh, that pitch looked good from here. Like, everybody's saying shit about the umpire. Like, you are allowed to say that shit about the umpire as a fan. So, like, but just the situation, just hilarious. But the fact that it happened to Aaron Boone, who is just a clown sometimes when it comes to umpires, it was kind of funny. It was, you know, the umpire in me was a little satisfied by that, but just really bad look too for Wendelstedt to be like, I don't care who said it, you're gone. Like,
yeah, I don't care who
just
said
a bad
it,
look
it was
all around, but no just one a affiliated. Fucking hilarious sequence of events.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous today. But all right. Next week will be the brand show for the post-draft. Maybe I'll bring someone on. Probably not. I'll probably just monologue it.
Don't bring someone else on, because they're going to be better than me and then people are going to want them.
I doubt that, Pat. The people love you. There's also, and not to leak anything about, because here's the thing. I was going to promote me live streaming the draft on Thursday, which could still be my first time live streaming in like a year. Very excited for it. There is now like a 50-50 shot that I am going to the draft. So I'll keep you guys posted. Either way, stay tuned for content either from Detroit or from my room. There's going to be content from somewhere, and I will let you guys know. But that's it for this week's show, and enjoy the draft, everyone. For Pat Gustafson, I'm Brandon Carney. I'll see you guys next week.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.